back. Glad we're number two. I want to tell you about our friends at Ingles. I've not been to Ingles since Saturday. Whoa, man, that's a long time for me. Hadn't been over there since Saturday because we don't have one here where we're at for a couple days. I'll probably go tomorrow, though. You know, go back to home, go back to Ingles, get me some good food there. I'm craving that chicken salad right now. I'm craving an egg salad. I'm craving egg salad because of the Masters. You know, I joke that the four elite egg salads in the world were my mom's, my wife's, Ingles, and the Masters. And so if you're not going to the Masters this year and you're craving that egg salad on that good old white bread, man, try it with our great friends over at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings, love the seafood and butcher department. Love those guys and girls back there. The bakery, man, every time I go by the bakery, I get a big thumbs up and tell them how much we enjoy all of that, and the salad bars and olive bars and the good folks over at Ingles. Check them out. Some great prices right now, and some good grill out weather, some good Masters weather, some good college baseball weather this weekend. Do it at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Love my friends at Ingles. Our telephone number, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We are one more open phone line segment, and I got a bunch of texts to get to. The 725, Dr. Milt Louder, and we might take some questions for Dr. Louder on our text line now. The Eric Backich interview, 745, and I got a text to ask him a question about Tristan McClady and his injury. We'll do that coming up, and I got a little information on that, I think, but I might let Coach share that with you. And then at 805, Tony Morrell. Texture says on our Adams Grove text line, 8688, got a friend on the way to Augusta right now. They're bringing back a nice shirt for me to wear to Greer Country Club and shoot plus 15. That's right, man. That's right. You know, it is that recognizable logo. Will, despite the fact that you've never been to Augusta National, when you see that logo, you know what it is.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. There's prestige.
How many other golf course logos would you recognize right off the bat off the top of your head?
Only one.
That's it.
Harbortown, but that's just because
Harbortown.
That's my
the lighthouse.
Yeah, that's just my hometown also.
Right, right. All right. Speaking of logos, I have a tremendously unique story to tell you about today. So you know how all these shoe companies do these themes and all across sports, right? Well, back in, I have to see the year, but back in the 80s, Severiano Ballesteros, Seve Ballesteros, one of the all-time greats, the dashing Spaniard who won the Masters on two or three occasions. I know I was there for two of them. See how many times Seve Ballesteros won the Masters. Anyway, he had signed a new contract with Nike. And they hadn't come out with some clothes, but hadn't come out with anything yet for like visor-wise and all this. Ballesteros, oh, by the way, won the Masters in 1980 and 1983. Two-time Masters champion. Also won the British Open in 79, 84, and 88. So five-time major champion. Anyway, the logo, the Nike logo was on his apparel, on his shirt. And I don't know whether Nike wanted it and he had been wearing some Masters logo stuff. And by the way, texture makes a good point. That's the Masters tournament logo, not the golf course logo. The golf course logo is a ANGC, Augusta National Golf Club logo, or without the Masters on it. So that's a good point. I should have clarified that. But anyway, so in one of these tournaments in the 80s or even 90s, Seve Ballesteros wanted to wear a visor and didn't have a Nike visor. They didn't make visors yet, whatever. So they had the idea. He wore a medium shirt. They had the idea that they would cut a tag out of the back of his shirt and sew it onto a visor. But the only thing was, Will, is that the tag in the back of his shirt wasn't big enough to cover the whole Masters logo. So they had to put two of them, one on top of another. And it was strange looking. But with that said, it became like this iconic thing in golf. Like, you've never seen two logos on top of each other, two of the same logos. And as a matter of fact, on it, on one of them, it said M for medium on the top one. Because, again, he cut it out of one of his shirts. Well, yesterday at the practice round, in a tribute to Seve Ballesteros, the Nike has made these shoes, and Scotty Scheffler had them on yesterday, that had the same top double logo on top of each other, including the M from Seve Ballesteros. And if you've not seen that, look that up on Twitter. Pretty cool deal there, man. Pretty cool deal. Seve, one of the most unique characters ever come out of it. But can you imagine of all the marketing now, and you know what they do nowadays, Will? They script your clothes for all the majors for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Like right now, Nike can tell you what Scotty Scheffler is going to wear on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the British Open, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the Masters. They can tell you for all of them. And the one that's going to be in July, they can tell you what he's going to wear because they scripted it out. Can you imagine just a few short years ago taking scissors and cutting out the label in the back of your shirt to sew it on a visor the night before a round?
We've come a very long way, yes. But you know what? Maybe that's why we have this new trend where you flip the logo upside down on the hat.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, hey.
You know what that is? You know what that is, dude? That's try hard. I don't like the try hard people. The try hard people are people who are bow ties. You know that.
Maybe it was a misprint. We don't know the story behind it.
No. It is an idea that I am trying way too hard to get your attention. Again, that's the bow tie wearer. I will offend some folks, and I will start getting texts in about 3 seconds. But if you wear a bow tie that's not in a tuxedo, you're trying way too hard. Nobody likes wearing them. If you don't have a clip on, nobody knows how to tie them. You look like an absolute goofy dude. So don't do it, man. Don't try too hard because I'm a Southern gentleman and I wear a bow tie. Don't do that, man. Will, do you own a bow tie?
I own two, and I've worn each of them once.
Okay. When you get home from work this morning, take both of them and put them in the trash can. I'm trying to save your dignity. Do not wear a bow tie.
These were groomsmen gifts. I'm not ever going to wear them again.
Okay.
But, I don't know how to tie a bow tie.
Yes.
Hey, look at me.
Okay, here we go. 85-70 said 100% agree on the bow tie. 59-82, 100% Mickey. Yes. Now,
oh, my goodness.
Texas said, can't take anyone serious when they're talking about wearing a bow tie. Yeah, you don't wear bow ties, man. Like I said, I'd laugh at all bow ties. They're awful. Yeah. Uh-oh, Texas Times said, time to get a new radio station. I feel personally attacked with my bow ties. Yeah, Dre, don't do it, man. You look like you're just trying way too hard, man. Look, the idea of even wearing a tie, you know, I get it. You have to. But just wear your tie, man. You know, don't try to make a... especially the frat boy that's going to the football game that's looking like he's going to some sort of Charleston, South Carolina job interview or something. Come on, man. Come on.
I really thought the bow tie for frat guys was because everyone wants to strangle them. You know, I thought the bow tie, you're still wearing a tie, but it's harder to strangle somebody wearing that.
Yeah, 59-82 says 100% Mickey, can't take anyone serious wearing a bow tie, and it says clown show. That's right. If you wear a bow tie, and I'm offending people's right so bad right now, but if you wear a bow tie, that ain't happening, man. Texter makes a good point about the Seve Ballesteros thing. Is how about Payne Stewart, the short sleeve rain jacket? He cut his sleeves off at Pinehurst. Yeah, when he won the 1999, when he won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, it's raining. His sleeves are too long. He takes scissors out. He didn't like the sleeves on it. It was hot, obviously, for July, or for June, I should say. And so he just cuts the sleeves out. So that's the second pair of scissors we've seen in major championship golf. Just some little interesting stories here and there. 654 Roar. 654-7627. I knew when I said it, I was going to get it. Snap Hook is up next on our Tiger Diagnostic phone line. Snap, but you don't wear a bow tie, I hope.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
You ever see me with a bow tie and skinny jeans on? Man, beat up that guy walking next to me because he kidnapped me and made me wear it.
Okay, just making sure.
That ain't my style. You lucky to find me with a button-up shirt on. Much less.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. But, my wife makes fun of me, like, whenever I wear a collared shirt somewhere to like a dinner, we go to dinner or something, you know, I wear a collared shirt, like just a normal golf shirt. I'll come home and say, man, I got to get out of this monkey suit. Oh, I got to put a t-shirt on, man. I got to get comfortable.
Bingo.
Oh, that monkey suit.
Mickey,
who decided we were going to wear ties, by the way? Who decided? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. No, I got wintertime hoodies and summertime hoodies and everything in between. Come on.
That's right.
Mickey, I want to bounce off two guys that I'm thinking, if they're available, I'm thinking Cam Young, Tommy Fleetwood would be my two top horses, being that I've got the 8th and 16th pick in this, if they're available. Got a couple of backups. I like the Matt Fitzpatrick overpowering Augusta. I like that, you know, hitting wedges in where, you know, other guys are hitting 8, 9 irons, 7 irons maybe in. I like that kind of thing. Also, the Justin Rose thing, I'm kind of on the fence. If he's available, to take him like a second round pick. Talk me into Justin Rose, and I'll take it out there. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. So let me give you a little bit here, okay? Cam Young might be the best of those picks. He's 28, so he's kind of rounding into form. At the Masters so far, he's played in 4 Masters. He's made the cut twice, 2 top 10s and 2 top 25s. Or two top 10s, I should say, as far as that goes. It's feast or famine, though. He missed the cut in his first one in 22. He finished 7th in 23, 9th in 24, missed the cut last year. I like the Cam Young. I like the Cam Young one there. I like that an awful lot. Tommy Fleetwood is it's a good pick as well. I don't like it as much as like the Cam Young pick, but I like the pick. Tommy Fleetwood is not as long as Cam Young, and he doesn't have the record at the Masters like Cam Young, though. So far in 9 Masters, he's made 8 cuts, but he's got a third, and the next best finish he has is 14th. So he only has 1 top 10 in 9 Masters. I don't like that as much. The Justin Rose pick is a phenomenal pick. And Justin Rose, because and when I say overpowering a golf course, that's not what Fitzpatrick's not going to overpower it. But Fitzpatrick is much longer now than he ever has been. Same thing with Justin Rose. Justin Rose is not going to overpower Augusta National the way Cam Young can. But he's much longer now than he ever was. Justin Rose at the Masters, 20 Masters, 17 cuts made, 3 runner-up finishes, 4 top 5 finishes, and 7 top 10s. Justin Rose has been the runner-up on 3 different occasions. He's runner-up in 2015, 2017, and then last year. So I love the Justin Rose pick. If you gave me the chance to pick any of those guys, of the 3, I really like Cam Young a lot. I really like Justin Rose a lot. And I really like Fitzpatrick a lot. So we'll go with those. If you get a chance on that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get a moment with Milt. Go ahead. If you have any questions for our sports and performance psychologist, you can send them in on our Adams & Co. roofing text line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We can ask the good doctor, Dr. Lauder, any of your questions there. Hey, my great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. I want to thank the gentleman, I don't know who it was yesterday, that sent a text in on our text line, saying that a 5-star review of Carolina Flooring Specialist said his garage floor looked amazing, and it's one of the best decisions he ever made. So I should have gotten that number down and been able to respond to that, but I didn't. It was a flooded bunch of phone calls on a Monday. But I do want to thank that person for doing that, like I'd have, like some of our listeners have. Go with the most experienced group out there. Your great garage floor, Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158, 404 8158. I'll ask Dr. Lowder if he wears bow ties too. That might be my only advice I can give Dr. Lowder. Throw away the bow ties. Short break when you come back. Much more to this.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Guys, low energy, weight gain, not feeling like yourself? You could be dealing with low testosterone. At Low Country Male, we don't guess, we test. Our comprehensive lab panels look at your testosterone levels, metabolic health, cardiovascular risk, and more. From testosterone replacement therapy to medical weight loss with GLP-1s, peptides, and thyroid optimization, we build a plan that works for you. Get your edge back and visit lowcountrymail.com. That's lowcountrymail.com.
Did you know you can recycle used cooking oil? 1 gallon converted into biodiesel fuel reduces greenhouse gas emissions up to 87% when compared with petroleum diesel. Recycle your used cooking oil at a designated Anderson County Residential Waste and Recycling Center. Do your part to fuel our future. Recycle your used cooking oil. Call 260-1001 or go to AndersonCountySC.org from the Anderson County Solid Waste Division.
Beat the summer heat with Tiger Sports Shop. From the practice field to the poolside, we've got you covered. Find breezy styles and cool comfort in Lululemon and Nike performance gear. Need a little extra shade? Check out the season's hottest hats. They're the ultimate summer must-have. And remember, Tiger fans, football season is on the horizon. Get your gear today and be game day ready. Shop local at our two Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or order anytime at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop. Everything Clemson, every season.
I'm a Tiger fan. I'm a GameCop fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience, not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The only place in the upstate where you can voice your takes is right here on the Tiger Diagnostics phone line. 654-ROAR.
Glad to have you with us. Love the song. love how that goes. Hey, I want to tell you quickly about my great friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air, blueridgeheatingair.com. Tiger, tune up right now, $89. That's saving over $100. I love saving you money. I love getting your HVAC working efficiently. Right now, man, it's like 47 degrees, and then Saturday it's going to be 86 degrees. So they're putting some strain on those HVAC units. Make sure you're ready for that warm weather. Get it done, get it cleaned, and all the parts running. When I did my last tune-up, we had to add a capacitor to it, and I didn't know what a capacitor was. It was explained to me correctly, and I love it. Now the thing's running very efficiently. We love it at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. $89 Tiger Tune-Up Special, blueridgeheatingair.com. To our guest lines, A Moment with Milt, our sports and performance psychologist, Dr. Milt Louder from amplos.com. Hey, good morning, Dr. Louder. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, Mickey. Where are you this morning?
I'm in Batesburg, Leesville, South Carolina. I'm doing it from the kitchen of my in-laws because my kids are on spring break, and we're going to Riverbank Zoo today. I've been fishing with my son the last couple of days down here at my sister's ponds, and just spending some time with the kids, man, you know, for today. I'm coming back tonight,
life
though.
Life is good.
Oh, man. Awesome. Let me tell you, Doc. Let me tell you about perspective, okay? When I was a kid, my dad would take me fishing. I hated it. Hated every moment of it. Would dread going. Now my 7-year-old is, that's all he wants to do now. So the last 2 days, I would guess a total of 6 hours I'm out there, and not even, you know, his reel breaks. And so all I do is casting it for him, and he reels it in. But to see the look on his face when he caught this monster bass, or these, you know, he caught a brim yesterday that was an awesome fighter. But just to see that look on his face, man, I love to go fishing now. Isn't that crazy?
Awesome. Yeah, you see it through the eyes of your kids, you see it in a whole new perspective.
Oh, man. Can't wait to go again. Like, I'm going up there to Bass Pro Shops, man. We got to get ready. Got to get all my gear going. are you in the upstate today?
I am not. I am in Minnesota today.
Ooh, what's your temperature there today?
It is 19 degrees. I went to do it outside. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll go back to my hotel room.
All right, well, be safe up that way. Hey, before we get into the what I planned on the segment and some interesting stuff with this, tell me about bow ties. I just made the statement that if you're wearing a bow tie, you're trying too hard. Dr. Louder, are you a bow tie guy? You don't wear bow ties, do you?
I do have a couple of bow ties, Mickey. I've worn them in the past. I don't wear a whole lot of ties anymore. But I think you sit in judgment of people who are wearing a bow tie because you don't know how to tie one, would be my guess.
Well, I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard. And I think bow ties are try-hards. just wear your normal tie or wear your golf shirt or your, you know, let's get this thing done.
That is a pretty general statement, Mickey. I think those that can do, those that can't, talk about those that do. So.
All right, speaking of that, we've had I've tried to talk to, and Coach Backus is coming on with us, and we use the example. I know that I've seen him where people said, man, he jumped the team last night, didn't jump the team last night. I go back to my days of Larry Pinley, one of my favorite people ever. And once a year, and it wasn't always planned, but once a year, Coach Pinley, we'd be out at basketball about to tee off, and he goes, well, they're going to get it tonight. I said, what's that? You know, and by the time he got done, I knew what he's talking about. But once a year, he'd come in and have his annual just team ripping. And it'd be timed just right. He was so experienced and won all those ACC championships and a national championship. And the most important part of it is he talked about how he knew which player to jump on and which player to coddle. But so I'd see him the next day, and I'd be like, Coach, how'd it go? He goes, oh, it was great, man. I screamed and yelled, and they screamed and yelled, and we had it out, and then they go to win the next golf tournament. Now, part of that's just the experience of it. But let me ask you about, I know you guys never struggled in church league basketball, but about the idea, when you're struggling, tell me about the time to jump them and the time to pull back and the time to add confidence or to add pressure or to take away pressure. You talk about that all the time.
Yeah, Mickey, I think that's, you know, Coach Pinley was a master motivator and had his finger on the pulse of this team. But what he told you just then gave you insight to, like, he knew each one of his players. He knew what they needed. He knew what motivated them. He knew what demotivated them. He knew the variables that were present when they were at their best. And he also had the timing, had his finger on the pulse of the whole team of what is needed in the moment. And so I think in terms of a team that is struggling, you know, they're so many different ways to try to connect with them. And you just mentioned it. We talk a lot. When am I adding pressure? When am I taking it away? When a team is struggling, I always love using the Stockdale paradox example that Jim Collins writes about. You know, Admiral Jim Stockdale was shot down in the Vietnam War. You and I talked a lot about it. He was tortured over 30 times, was put in isolation. But he just kind of remained steadfast in his belief of how he thought the prisoners should be treated. And he gave the men, he created a way for the men to survive the torture. And as Jim Collins was interviewing for his book, Good to Great, he asked him about that experience. He said, I read about your experience. I read your book and I became depressed. How did you maintain faith? And Jim Stockdale said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never quit believing that this would be the defining moment in my life. And so as Jim Collins talks about good to great companies, good to great teams, good to great organizations, the Stockdale paradox has both sides. He says you must maintain unwavering belief and at the same time have the courage to face the brutal truth of your situation no matter what. So too many times I see coaches or leaders or parents or people, they're one or the other. You know, they have unwavering belief, this overwhelming sense of optimism, and they don't have the courage to look at the brutal truth. And then most people are brutal truth, and they're finding reasons not to believe. They're finding reasons that they're going to struggle. They're looking for evidence, and that's what critics are. That's kind of what fans are. They're looking for evidence that this team doesn't have what it takes. But as a coach, as a leader, you have to find the balance between those two. And when you're doing that, you got to understand, you know, what's the old saying, an object in motion to stay in motion, an object in rest to stay at rest, the second law of physics. And so you're just trying to disrupt the motion. If it's going well, I got to keep riding it. And maybe that's when I add pressure. That's when I challenge them. If it's going poorly, you got to find ways to encourage them and motivate them and challenge them. You got to kind of, the mind starts looking to develop a negative picture. And a coach's job is to help them paint a different picture, to help them maintain belief, to find a way for the team to get a win. And the paradox of performance sometimes, Mickey, is the harder you try, the further away you get.
All right, let me ask you, are we always to the message who is intended to go to? Are we always going to respond better to one style than another style or several styles? In other words, the person that needs to be pushed and yelled at, is he or she always going to respond to that? Or is that always going to be the best way to do about it? Or, and the person that's never,
well,
ever
time
pushed.
I hear the always, and then there are all caveats and exceptions. And again, we aren't perfect. You know, we aren't always going to say the right thing, do the right thing, have the right tone of voice. And sometimes, Mickey, if I'm completely honest, I'll see a coach give a great speech and it doesn't work. And I'll see the coach give a mediocre speech and the team goes out and plays great. And so the coach gets a lot of credit and they get a lot of blame. And sometimes it's a lot of times that the players just take ownership of how they're going to play. You know, what was the Tommy Lloyd? No, who was it at halftime of the game? It was Tommy Lloyd. I think for Arizona, and they were getting beat or not playing well, and they asked him what he did. He said he just walked out of the locker room and said, "Okay, guys, you got to decide what you're going to do. The coaching staff's going to step out. Y'all got to figure it out." And that's what I talked about, where maturity matches talent. That the best teams take ownership. It's internal leadership. But the always and nevers, I think we have to be mindful and careful of that. You're always. You know, as human beings, life is an experiment for us. And as a coach, the season is an experiment. There's some highs and lows. And you're just always experimenting to try to figure out, how can I push the right buttons? How can I create the right environment? That's what a coach is really trying to do, is engineer an environment that allows our players and our team to play its best when it matters most.
I have two examples that I wanted to ask you about, because sometimes you get that preconditioned response and everybody's expecting that preconditioned response, but I'm reminded 1988 Clemson's playing NC State, and the Tigers play the worst first half in Death Valley against State, and they're down 30-0. And the guys say, man, we're expecting Coach Ford to come in this locker room and just rip us up one side of that locker room down the other. And he comes in and goes, hey, guys, we're going to be fine. So we're going to come out. We're going to throw it more. We're going to come out. We're going to win this football game 31-30. Now, they lost 30-28, but they had a great chance to win until a late pick there. But, had you know, it was the exact opposite response that they thought. And on the same lines, they tell the story of Spurrier against Tennessee, and Tennessee's beating them like 21-3 at halftime. And Spurrier comes in the locker room and says, guys, we got them right where we want them because they're not going to make any adjustments, and we're going to make every adjustment because they're fat and happy over there, and we're going to win. And they went, you know, 24-21, whatever. So there's value in maybe – you know, the opposite maybe what those two teams expected.
Yeah, Mickey, I think we talked about it earlier when Mike Elko said this year his job was to be opposite of the moment. And so if the team is struggling and discouraged, and the coach is opposite of that is to be maintaining belief and inspiring. If the team is down and defeated, how do we pick them up? If the team is complacent, then that's what Coach Bentley was saying. That's when I got to jump them. And so I love that language of opposite of the moment. And yeah. And for a coach, it's so easy to be to second guess yourself. It's so easy to be second guessed by everybody. But trusting yourself, understanding your team, what are the values that your team believes in? What are the things that they can hold true in spite overwhelming odds, in spite the negativity? How can they hold true to that? And that's your job, to hold them accountable to the things they can control. How are we preparing? How are we practicing? How are we disrupting the negativity? That's the job, and that's the art of coaching.
Well, as the fan said, let's just jump them all the time. But obviously that wouldn't work if we did that, like what the fan wants. You like it when I throw you some curveballs. Now, this is not my curveball, Doc. This is from our Adams Garvey text line. I invited some folks to kind of check in and maybe ask a question or two, and I've got about 10. I've got two I want to ask you about if we have time. But this is one we've never talked about, and I can't wait to hear the answer to this. 3976 said, Dr. Louder, what are your thoughts on hypnosis to cure mental challenges related to sports and life? One session to take more than any sessions. Any thoughts, any research you know or do about hypnosis? I have no clue on this one.
It's been a long time since I've looked at hypnosis, to be quite honest. And there when I looked at it, one, I'm not an expert in it. There's inconsistent research on its effectiveness. But what we know, hypnosis is just really tapping into that subconscious brain and is trying to help rewire and realter. We know the brain is at its most susceptible when it's in a peaceful state, when it's in a relaxed state. And so there's been a lot of, I'd have to really look at the literature because there's a lot of people out there that claim it'll heal this and heal that. But I have seen people use it effectively in dealing with significant trauma and maybe dealing with addiction as part of a treatment process, as part of overall treatment process to help someone start that path in recovery or start that path to wellness.
Now, I could give a whole bunch of backstories here. I mean, I'm not. I'm skeptical. Am I wrong for being skeptical? Like, does this person like I want to voluntarily be hypnotized? Can I be? Can I totally not believe in it? You think and still be hypnotized?
Yeah. You got to. I think you have to be willing. You have to be a willing participant. You have. Right. You know, it's just getting into that hypnotic state, and you cannot program someone like you've seen to. You know, you've seen this hypnotist come in and get people to walk like a chicken or talk like a chicken. You can create a mental cue, but that person has to be a willing participant. The brain has to be willing to engage in that activity. But we're open to suggestions all the time. And so what you know how you treat a specific phobia, Mickey, is you work with someone and you teach them how to calm their body. You teach them how to calm that sympathetic nervous system. You teach them how to activate that parasympathetic nerve, and you give them a cue. And that cue could be, hey, I'm touching my thumb and my forefinger together, or there's some kind of cue that triggers my brain. I'm in a relaxed state. And so hypnosis is just taking that to the extreme. And so there's a lot of, like I said, it's been probably 20 years since I've looked at it. But I think what you're thinking about, I'm a little skeptical of that as well.
As fascinating to me. I need to learn more about that. I need to listen to about a 3-hour podcast or an Amplus.com podcast on all that coming up, maybe. All right.
I'm not sure we're going to roll one out on hypnosis, but we might. We might.
9866, final one for you, Doc. 9866. Doc, what's the defense mechanism for causing Mickey to attack people on bow ties?
It's a level of insecurity because he can't tie a bow tie, would be my guess. That is
okay.
Yeah, that is
good stuff there.
I mean, Mickey, when's the last time you've even put on a tie?
Oh my goodness. My mom's funeral, Valentine. Maybe it was Valentine's Day she passed. Maybe the February 17th, maybe of 25.
Yeah.
In my closet, yeah, Doc, I have two ties.
You're working on the old stereotypes of people, but I think it's a good look. It's a sophisticated look, and if you know how to tie it, it kind of has something different.
I have a funeral tie. I have a wedding tie, and that's it. I have one suit. I have one sport coat.
Tell the texter, I think we figured out where the insecurity comes from, where the defensiveness comes from.
Oh, yes. Yes, no doubt. I joke that when I would take my – if I go out to dinner and I just wear just a normal golf shirt, because I wear T-shirts 98% of the time, then I tell my wife, I got to get out this monkey suit. This is a normal polo. I got to get out this monkey suit, man. This thing's just uncomfortable for me. I can't do this anymore. Tell me about when you do come back from Minnesota, back to the upstate, and help folks out with Amplus.com.
Hey, Mickey, we're having a blast with this new partnership with Elliott Davis. The team over there has been great. It's been a lot of energy starting this human capital division. And what's so great is their values, you know, they're really consistent with our values about doing what's right and service to others and mutual respect and always getting better and quality. And their vision statement is we elevate all experiences by caring more. And so when we like to say we optimize who people are and what they do, we help people be better, pursue better. It's been a really good fit. And so our little vision at Amplus has not changed. It just is now we've got a team to really help support and help other people and help other organizations. So we're grateful to be there. We're grateful to you. We're grateful for your listeners to think enough to ask questions and engage in our time together.
I am grateful for it as well. Have a safe trip. Stay warm, and looking forward to visiting with you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Mickey. See ya.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Dr. Milt Lauder from Amplus.com. We'll come back. Eric Bakich is it's 4:41 in the morning, 4:42 in the morning now in California. They're about to board a plane. We'll get with the hope to get with the Clemson baseball coach talking about winning 3 out of 4 on the West Coast road trip when you come back for more after this.
At PhD Weight Loss, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team, they treat unwanted weight as a symptom and not the main problem. And that's different from a lot of other things you might try. I saw that when I went to PhD. I was just looking at numbers on a scale. And listen, the numbers matter, but it's not the whole ball of wax because you don't have a weight problem. You have a body that's in survival mode. So the medications and the fad diets, the apps, even the GLP-1 drugs that are useful and helpful for a lot of people, they're not really addressing the important things like metabolism and hormones and stress response. And when you address those, that's when you get the lasting health and the lasting weight loss. They're not just helping you lose weight. They're helping you increase health span and extend longevity. Right now, call PhD Weight Loss. Mention Qualk. You'll get 2 weeks free in the program, and they're going to pay for your food. That's a $1,500 value completely free, which is just crazy. Call 864-644-1900 and mention Qualk. That's 864-644-1900 or go to myphdweightloss.com.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a 1-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
Thinking about a move to the upstate? Discover Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 3 miles from historic downtown and 8 miles from Clemson. This family-owned builder has over 30 years of experience creating personalized homes built around your lifestyle. one- to two-story design. Starting in mid-300s, you can customize every detail in a 3,900-square-foot design studio. Community pool opens this year. Empire Homes has some fantastic limited-time incentives right now for both completed homes or building your dream home from the ground up. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com and start your new chapter in the Upstate. Homeowners and landscaping professionals alike know that preparing lawns for spring can be enhanced with a visit to the professionals at your local Landscaper Supply. From Toro mowers to mulch, landscaping materials, and more, Landscaper Supply has everything you need to get the job done. There are 7 Landscaper Supply locations across the Upstate. Find yours at landscapers-supply.com, the number one Toro mowers dealer in the Carolinas. Landscaper Supply, online at landscapers-supply.com.
The strongest connections are made right here at home. Since 2020, Upcountry Fiber has been a neighbor you can count on. With the fastest, most reliable internet in the Upstate and a local team ready to assist when you need us. Switch today for smoother streaming, seamless remote work, and as a thank you for joining us, enjoy a complimentary speed increase for 12 months. Visit upcountryfiber.com/year-of-internet to learn more. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you need a portable toilet once or on a daily basis, please call Royal Flush Portable Toilet Rental.
Call 864-238-8800.
Remember, when in doubt, give Royal Flush a shout.
Call 864-238-8800.
Royal Flush Portable Toilet Rental offers septic tank pumping, portable restroom rentals, dumpsters, restroom trailer rentals, waste holding tank rentals, temporary fencing, and lots more. Please call Royal Flush Portable Toilet Rental today.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore. My husband Platt and I started AMPM Farms in 2020 with just 24 cows. Today we raise over 700 head of cattle on our 505-acre farm. The A, P, and M in AMPM, that's us. We do this for our 4 kids and for your family too. No vaccines, no hormones, no antibiotics, ever. That's real farm to table. Shop at our 3 store locations 7 days a week in Fountain End, Greenville, and Traveler's Rest, or online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
From Doug Kingsmore Stadium to your radio, all across the Upstate, Clemson baseball lives here.
1-2 pitch to Kershaw Knopf. Here it is. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Tied him up.
105.5 and 97.5 FM, The Roar, where every day is game day.
And I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Lovely day in South Carolina. I take it a lovely day in Northern California where we go, where it's actually 4:47 in the morning. Eric Backich, Clemson baseball coach, joins us. Very thankful for that. Coach, good very early morning to you. Thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
Great. We were taking bets on if we'd be up or not, and I had all the faith in the world in you. Might not have even slept last night after another very good win. Winning 3 out of 4 and some really competitive baseball and some high-leverage at-bats and high-leverage pitches. Tell us about the road trip and your overall thought about how your club handled the West Coast trip.
Well, you know, we feel obviously win the series on the road, you feel good about it. Felt like we let one slip away. Maybe it could have been even better than that. But I liked how we were playing from a deficit in the middle of the game, both on Sunday and yesterday. And our guys, you know, responded well, especially after an emotional turning of the tide on Saturday where we lost, you know, we blew a lead late. And then we're still down runs, you know, we chasing runs, then we tie it up, then they score some more, and then, you know. But it was just a really good job by our guys of being resilient and showing that toughness that we needed them to show as we're, you know, climbing out of this hole that we dug ourselves. So it was all of it was good to see.
You mentioned when we visited last week about lineup changes and different guys getting different opportunities. Let's talk about a couple of those. Let's begin with Jason Foltz. The freshman third baseman who had, I think, 7 of 13 on the West Coast trip, including a 3-run bomb last night that was really the game changer for you. Tell us about the freshman and what you're seeing from him and his confidence growing on the offensive end of things.
Yeah, he was no surprise. We knew he was good coming into the season. He was a guy that we felt like was one of our best nine hitters, or at least right in that mix. Going into the season, it was just, you know, we didn't have enough positions or spots in the lineup to always put him in there. But he's gotten some, you know, sporadic at-bats here and there. Probably, you know, was the, you know, that guy that was playing the most consistently of anyone that's not a regular starter. And, you know, with Jay Dillard got sick actually on Wednesday in Charlotte. And so, you know, it's just he was fighting a virus, and so it opened up the opportunity for Fultz. Fultz jumps in there, took advantage of it. McClatty gets hurt. Dillard goes back in, and then, you know, Fultz is a mainstay now, and he just showed some comfort just settling in and just knowing that he's going to play every day. He wasn't trying to, you know, necessarily perform to be in the lineup the next day. Now he knows he's in there, and he starts to see some glimpses of what he's capable of, and that was huge. No, you know, nothing bigger than the 3-run, 2-out bomb that he hit last night to take the lead.
Another one, Bryce Clavon at the top of the lineup now, showing some power. Obviously, we talked about his defense, his athleticism, but a little pop in the bat. It seems like Bryce at the top of the lineup kind of added a little spark to the offense. What'd you think of his West Coast trip?
I liked it. Yeah, he definitely with Purify and McClatty out. You know, those are our two table setters, our the speed that we had at the top. You know, Bryce is, you know, really settles into that role of being that table setter, being able to use his speed, being able to run the bases. And, yeah, I thought he was a great spark. I thought, you know, he's kind of that another guy that fits that combination of speed and power. And he showed it. He showed it on Sunday. I think he only had two hits, but he hit, like, three other balls to the warning track. You know, a couple of them line drives, just really, really, really hit swinging the bat well, and just a really good plug and go guy at the top of the order.
You mentioned Purify and McClatty. I know both guys, it's hard to think about what those guys have been through with the bats. Where are they health-wise? What do we know, time frames, and what are the latest with those two top-of-the-table guys?
Yeah, so they're both coming back. That's the good news. You know, we're going to have to keep things on the tracks here and find a way to continue to win a series each weekend while they're out. But JP is actually he can pinch run moving forward, and then he'll probably, you know, you're talking about broken bones with both of them, so it's just the time it takes for the bones to heal. So for JP, he's probably 2 to 3 weeks out. With T-Mac, you know, with facial fractures, it's interesting because, you know, it is a broken bone, but you can really protect that, the face, with different types of guards with the helmets. So he's got a few facial fractures, but he does not need surgery, and that's huge because, you know, remember a few years ago, Jacob Gerald got hit in the face.
Yeah.
And he did need surgery and did need a plate, and so that was a much longer rehab process. But with T-Mac, he does not need surgery, so it's, you know, it's in terms of just letting the bones heal and getting some extra protection with, you know, what he wears on defense and what he wears obviously on offense. But it, you know, it's not, we're hopeful for a few weeks, you know, where we can really get him, you know, start, get the healing process going, and then see if we can't find, you know, like maybe one of those helmets with the big cage on the front that he can wear on offense and defense just to protect the cheekbones.
You've been in this game a long time. Have you had, because I'm thinking from a psychological standpoint, have you ever had a case where, you know, a shot in the face like that, where it has a psychological effect to it? Is that something that you've had to address in the past?
We've had plenty of guys, you know, get hit in the face for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's probably some of that, but no, I think that's just sport and it's competition and it's injury and it's overcoming injury, and he'll be fine. He'll get right back in there, especially with the protective wear that he's going to wear. So it'll be fine. But yeah, for sure. You know, I see it more in young kids than I do with college level players.
Right. You know, one of the things I noticed about this one, because I was on the road a little bit, I watched the entire game on Friday night. He kept me up late over this way, but with a great win there. But one of the things I noticed is every time I'm listening in the car, you got runners on first and second, first and third, whatever. And the idea that you don't have Purify, you don't have McClatty, and that those guys put so much pressure on defenses, but it seemed like you had so much more pressure offensively. Talk about that. Talk about what, like, again, Clavon, we talked about it, but the rest of the guys, man, a lot of base runners and a lot of pressure on the defense and the pitching staffs this past weekend.
Yeah. I mean, we just kind of shifting, having to adjust. You know, it's kind of the middle of the season. It's like we don't ever get a halftime, you know, in our sport. So, you know, sometimes you just got to do a needs assessment on the fly in the middle of the game. And sometimes, like right now, you do a needs assessment of, you know, without our top two table setters and the two guys that we were counting on as being the premium speed at the top. You know, without those guys, our offense dynamic is now totally different. And so the good thing about, you know, the way we coach, we're never going to be one-dimensional. So we train literally everything. We, you know, and it, we got exposed because we haven't really been a bunt, hit-and-run kind of team. So we started to say, hey, we're gonna press the game a little more. We're going to be more of an action offense. We're going to bunt. We're going to fake bunt steal. We're going to hit and run. We're going to slash. Like, we're going to do all those things. So our bunting wasn't very good this past weekend in terms of game execution. So we'll need to keep working on that. But I think that's what we're going to be. We're going to see a lot more of that moving forward is, you know, it's kind of like, screw it, man. We got nothing to lose now. Might as well just, you know. It's a more fun offense to coach when you're getting to push a lot of buttons and put a lot of plays on it. I can tell you that instead of sitting back station to station and hoping somebody hits a homer. So I do like what we're doing. I do think it's going to create a different dynamic. And then obviously when Purify and McClatty get back, you know, and we've got some new pieces in the lineup, not just Fultz, but Jackson Moore, and, you know, like, it's just different, and it's good. And I think when those guys get back, I think that's when we really, that's why we have to continue to play very well. Pitching and defense has to be the bread and butter. We have to continue to do everything in our power to win a series each weekend so that when those guys get back, we can really go on a heater.
Well, you mentioned the defense part of it. I'm glad you did. One error on the entire trip out west on a fly ball, a routine fly ball throughout that. But you talked about adding so much pressure to it. Your thoughts on that paying off immediately, and maybe confidence growing defensively because it's not just making the routine plays, but I thought you made some exit plays out in the field as well. What'd you think of the defense?
Oh, I mean, we whatever we focus on, we're going to get better at. And so the defense became a huge area of focus. So we're doing, you know, we changed our pregame BP. We're doing team defense before we're even doing batting practice on game day. I mean, we just, you know, and we're doing everything above game speed. We're on the clock and, you know, 10% faster than game speed. And we're going to keep doing that because it's working, number one. But number two, it's, you know, it's just a good exercise to be in. And I just like the way our guys responded. They saw where we were deficient, and coaches saw it. Everyone saw it. Everyone knew it. But it's one thing to say, hey, that's a problem. It's another thing to say, all right, we need to have some solutions here to make it better. So, you know, proud of our guys for doing that. And it's just, you know, the look and feel of things right now is better. And so we just have, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. We got a great team coming in this weekend with North Carolina. But our guys are getting better in the middle of the season. And that's been a staple of our teams historically, is we continue to get better as the season goes. And, you know, we'll just hope to do that.
Final one about getting better. Dane Moeller last night, two innings. First time we've seen that. He faced six batters, two strikeouts, no walks, no hits. Seemingly he's getting better. Are you seeing the same thing in numbers-wise and all that, and his confidence? You're seeing all that in Dane, maybe his role expanding?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's still on a very, you know, doctor's orders type of pitch count rehab protocol, but absolutely. I mean, he threw 16 pitches in two innings last night. I mean, it was all strikes. It was awesome. He did a fantastic job. So, yeah, we'd love to see his his role continued to expand, and as his innings continued to get, I guess, permitted to, his pitch count continues to rise, and his, the ups and downs, it's not just the number of pitches, it's the ups and the downs in between the innings too. So it's, all that's good. All that's really good. And Dane is certainly going to be a big factor into things moving forward.
Moving forward, hey, Coach, I know you had great weather out there. Unbelievable weather when you come back east. 6 o'clock Friday night, 2 o'clock Saturday, 12:30 on Sunday. Big crowds, Doug Kingsmore, as a top five North Carolina comes in. Should be an awesome week. Hey, safe travels. Thanks for getting up so early this morning. Safe travels today, and look forward to talking about a great series against the Tar Heels when we visit next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mickey. Go Tigers.
I love it. Eric Backett's great stuff for sure. We'll come back. Tony Morrell joins us kicking off hour number three right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses.